Welcome to the Cricket Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Hello, everyone. And we have not had a cricket podcast in probably far too long, but it is a World Cup year coming up.
Yeah.
And the summer of New Zealand cricket leads on to the English summer, where we will obviously have the World's Tournament for Cricket.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
I, for one, am very excited. The New Zealand team have done really, really well. And Pakistan, I felt like the one-day series was fair. I think both Pakistan and New Zealand showed that they were about even though Pakistan are clearly the better T20 side.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Test series, both sides, once again, were pretty even, but New Zealand won those close games, and Pakistan thrashed us in the one game they won.
Yeah, exactly. That was actually really good. New Zealand showed some good fortitude there in those close games to really hold on.
Yeah.
Because they were under the pump for the first and the third test, both in Abu Dhabi. They were under the pump for a lot of that test.
And Yasir Shah is clearly a very, very good player.
Yeah.
He is now the quickest player to get to 200 wickets, and that list is full of leg spinners. Yasir Shah, New Zealand-born Australian leg spinner, Clary Grimmett, and Ashwin, who just broke the record a few months ago, which Yasir just beat to coffin. So
really?
Clearly, if you want to get lots of wickets quickly, you got to bowl wrist spin.
Yeah, that seems to be the moral that's
the
been
moral
handed
of the story.
Up. Yeah.
But all that aside, New Zealand, I think, played really well, especially given they hadn't played a cricket game in 7 months before touring Pakistan.
Yeah, it was quite a while.
Probably hadn't played a test match since that second test against England in Feb. So, very good performance.
I agree. Very good performances. I think you're right that it was quite a time between test matches for the New Zealand team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to put on a performance like they did and show that sort of tester character and the ability to fight back, that's actually boding really well. And I think there's a lot of people out there now that are sort of looking at the New Zealand team thinking there might be a little bit of a dark horse to make some surprise upsets, especially when the Test Championship starts next year, is it?
Yeah, exactly. We've got basically a subcontinent summer.
We got Sri Lanka, India, and Bangladesh.
They get to play Sri Lanka, who have had mixed fortunes in the last year or so. Basically, white ball cricket versus India.
Pretty sure we don't get one test out of them.
I don't think either side wants to play test this close to a World Cup.
No, I know. That's what I was saying. Just one test, maybe, but it's a bit of a pity. But yeah. I mean, we get three test matches against Bangladesh at the end of it.
Yeah.
It'd be nice just to have had one Indian one, but I was.
Oh, wait, it would have clashed with IPL, probably.
Yeah, it would have to have been first, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And then, but that sort of ruins New Zealand cricket's cashing in on this holiday period with having white ball cricket.
Yeah.
They're like test matches over the holiday period? No, we want people to come to things. We've got to make money out of it.
Pretty much.
It's a little sad.
That's why we stopped having Boxing Day tests.
Yeah. New Zealand cricket probably have a higher attendance by having 5 one-day internationals, one after the other, like in 5 day team, than it would be a test match over that same time.
Yeah.
But anyway.
People still like going to ODIs.
Yeah.
Kane Williamson's growing well into this role as a captain. I was worried at first that it would affect his batting, which it can. A lot of players can't do both, and Kane's still quite young, but he's handled it really well.
Yeah, I know he has. He's just definitely turning into Captain Fantastic. And, I mean, whilst I knew Kane would be a good player, when Brendan McCullum retired, I thought that was going to be a bit of a downturn for New Zealand cricket, whilst, you know, Kane found his stride, especially as captain, but seemed to really get into it quite easily, and you know, has just built on what Brent Cullum had brought to begin with.
Exactly. And I think he can, well, I don't want to overhype, but he can only go straight. It's crazy to think he's already statistically New Zealand's best batsman.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very good argument to say that he is probably New Zealand's greatest batsman at this point. I think last season we were saying he definitely belongs in the pantheon. I think now he is the king of the pantheon.
There's oh, no, definitely.
Question in my mind that he's the best ever we've had.
Yeah.
And
I'd have to recheck what I actually said, but I'm pretty sure last year I thought he was, in my mind, he was the best, even if he hadn't quite got there in terms of stats. Or in everybody's mind, I thought the fact that he was the best because he was only, he just
I
had time to get better.
He could be the best, like he had the best, but I didn't think he had quite yet done enough to be the GOAT. But now, yeah, definitely New Zealand batsman, he's the GOAT. And quite frankly, if he goes on at the way he's going, he could easily be our greatest ever cricketer. Like, he could take that mantle from Richard Hadlee.
Yeah. Possible that he's already taken that from Richard Hadlee, really, and all the things he's done.
It's a different era. Obviously, Richard Hadlee never had to captain the side, but he's also an all-rounder. He not only did he win games with his bowling, his batting lower down the order saved New Zealand, and also won games for New Zealand. But Kane Williamson has pretty much been giant in our batting order, especially, and so good in the fourth inning. So clearly, he is making a lot of match-winning. Because if you've got a record of 60 plus average in the fourth inning, that shows that you are basically a great batsman under pressure. Like that's a match-winning test batsman right there. And
yeah, exactly.
He also bowls, and he's the captain.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't bowl as much anymore. He doesn't seem to like putting it, since his issues with his action back, he seems to not like to bowl himself anymore.
Personally, I think he should basically do the batting and we have captioning because we want him to be injury free and we want him to be able to extend his batting career for as long as possible. Obviously.
Exactly. I feel like as a bowling option he should just be there for an over or two.
Yeah.
Spinner's paradise and the spinners are doing well but the set batters have sort of got their rhythm against them. That's when Kane should come over for over two just to loosen things up or something just to see what will happen more than anything.
That's probably about right. So I think New Zealand right now has an abundance of good spinners of all types.
Yeah. It's strange to say that, but yes.
Yeah. We've got a good spin bowling, and I think every team in our first class structure has a good spinner.
Yeah. And you say it's all
spin
all
bowling
sorts.
Is not this thing we have in the sides as like a guy who can bat a bit and then he'll bowl a lot of overs to eat up time while the fast bowlers rest. It's
The tie up and end.
They're basically a crucial part of winning games in New Zealand in all conditions. And I feel like New Zealand probably have the best long form test cricket pitchers in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
It gives the right balance between bat and ball. You got a bit for the swing bowlers, obviously, being New Zealand. There's movement off the pitch for your seamers, and you've obviously got turn to the fourth day, and sometimes 3.5 days for the spinners to come into play.
Yeah, exactly. Just enough there. And as you say, we've got spinners of all eggs as well. Like we've got left arm orthodox. We've got right arm off spinners, right arm leggies. I think there's a few left arm wrist spinners as well floating around. It's strange to see, and they're all doing well. So
beyond the third day, like even in the first inning, because we have the wind and the air conditions still, even if you're not getting the turn off the pitch, you can. New Zealand, that's why I feel New Zealand spinners have become good, is that they're using things like drift and changes of pace and variations of line and length to get their wickets.
Well, that's what they always had to rely on. That was like the only thing they could do. Like, it's never going to turn, so I have to do it in the air. That's still been taught. That's still been, kept on. So now New Zealand spinners, as you say, are getting really good because they're getting both parts of the art of spin to develop and actually being rewarded for it, for both. So.
And I think that we're picking bowlers who are in their late 20s to early 30s. So people who, again, like they're matured spin bowlers.
Yeah, which is the best way to pick a spin bowler.
I think so. Like, obviously, Daniel Vittori is a giant of New Zealand cricket. And playing since he was 16. But he's very much the exception of the rule. Exactly.
Yeah. He's someone that was he was a special talent. When you get a special talent, that's special, you know, and those are the exceptions to the rule, and you know that they're special because they are, you say, exactly the exception. So something different happens.
And even Shane Warne, who started played for Australia quite young by Australian standards, 23.
Yeah, exactly.
He said that it took him like at least a year of playing Test cricket to actually figure it out. And also, again, Shane Warne is another special talent. Obviously, he's the GOAT when it comes to spin bowling. So.
Yeah, exactly. Once again, it's a bit hard to try and standardize someone against people like Shane Warne. You're like, you can't standardize against the best. That doesn't really work. Then everybody comes under par.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, and look, there's no reason why we shouldn't have great spin bowlers. As I mentioned, Clary Grimmett, who is one of the best ever leg spinners, is from New Zealand, or born in New Zealand. So,
yeah.
There you go. Born in good old Dunedin. Born on the 24th of December. So his partner, Bill O'Reilly, said that he's the greatest gift the South Island has ever, Christmas gift the South Island has ever given Australia. So, how do we feel about Sri Lanka? Like, we've talked a lot about New Zealand. This year, I feel like they've come good. A year before this, and just after the World Cup, and after the retirement of Sangakkara, I felt like this was the poorest Sri Lankan team I had ever seen since they won the World Cup in 1996. But they have really turned a corner.
You know, they have a bit of thing. They're starting to look a lot better. Most of the team's been around for a while-ish now, like not ridiculously old, but they've...
I mean, their batting feels like it's like going at to the be end of their career. On Angelo Matthews again. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like they were a few years ago, you know, Jaya Wardner and their careers and playing on and holding everything together. But they were definitely at the end, you know, like, through from that. And now sort of, you say, providing that core, they don't have to rely on Angelo Matthews to come out and then score all the runs.
Angelo Matthews obviously is a class act, and
he
basically for a while just had to do everything for Sri Lanka to get their wickets, he had to get runs, and he had to captain them.
Yeah, exactly. Made all the decisions.
I feel like Sri Lanka would have probably made him do some wicket keeping as well if they could get away with it, but.
I almost feel like he has wicket-kept for them before at some stage.
Probably. He probably has.
Yeah.
But this team is not... This is not a young, up-and-coming Sri Lankan side. These are players who've been playing for a while. And while they don't have the talent of the previous generation, there's no standouts like your Jayawardenes and Sangakkaras, apart from Matthews, of course.
Yeah. But he almost counts as... He was the tail end of that generation, you know?
Exactly. Like, their captain, Dinesh Chandimal, he definitely needs to be in the runs. And Dimuth Kunaratne, he's played a few games. He's been around before the last World Cup. So these are all players who Sri Lanka rely on, I think. Their bowling lineup is very respectable. They did very well against South Africa in home conditions. In New Zealand, their spinners will do well, I think, after the third and fourth day, like you and I have mentioned. But their fast bowlers need to pick up their game, bowl aggressively. Like, enjoy it. You're going to get good bowling conditions in New Zealand. You may as well use it in that first day if you can win the toss.
Yeah, exactly. As you say, there's going to be decent bowling conditions. And despite the apparent... despite the analysis of bowling first, New Zealand may be a place where you buck that trend, as you say, and look to give your bowlers something to do when the conditions are there for you.
I think that the first test is going to be in the basin.
Yeah.
And that the basin traditionally has a green top pitch. So I think, yes, if Sri Lanka win the toss, despite the analysis we've had about all the advantages of batting first, Sri Lanka... assuming this pitch is also a green top, though the groundsman has sworn that it'll be an even pitch, it'll be good, and I totally believe him when he says this.
The groundsman wouldn't lie.
Sri Lanka should look to bowl, I think, but if they have to bat first, Well, I think after the first two sessions, that pitch, the pitch is, even in the basin, the pitch becomes a road, and you can bat all you like in the second day and, like, beginning of the third day.
Yeah, exactly. The basin is through the first session / 1.5 sessions, then, yeah, it turns into a batter's paradise. Retaining your wickets through that opening 1.5-ish sort of bit. Yeah. Session first day, if you get to there, and then they say get in the second day, and suddenly it becomes a whole lot.
Absolutely. That being said, I feel like New Zealand should be rightfully considered favourites going into the series in both the One Dares and the Test, and also in the T20s. Well, the one T20 they have in Auckland. Sri Lanka don't have a great record in New Zealand, unfortunately, for them.
They do not.
And this is probably what plays against them here. I mean, this team could buck the trend, and if Sri Lanka can buck the 10 trend, they will be a very dangerous side in the World Cup, but I'm not seeing it.
I'm with you. I don't probably, potentially 2-0, but just as likely 1-0. Some of that may be weather-related. So, yeah, it's New Zealand. The weather's going to play a part in how many...
I feel like we're going to have a proper 5-day test at Christchurch over Christmas, because we tend to have good weather that time of year in the South Island, at least in the Canterbury Plains.
So it's still New Zealand weather. You're still going to get a bit of...
Wellington is a... Yeah, you're right. It's still New Zealand, but Wellington's a coin toss, really.
That's just going to be up in the air. If we get 5 full days of cricket, there will be a result. 4 full days of cricket spread over those 5 days, we'd probably get a result. But
yeah.
If we get less than that, then that might just be a draw. Playing less than 4 days worth of cricket over that test, then they'll be able to not collapse twice in that time. Though,
I mean, to be fair, New Zealand did beat England in less than.
Yeah, it is not a known
test. England got all out for like 50-something.
That's one of those special cases again.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think Sri Lanka are that bad.
No.
And heck, England weren't really that bad.
No. It's a special case. Special stuff happened. A little bit of that was the New Zealand bowlers being that good on that day. They got good conditions. They not got lucky. The England batters looked a bit under-prepared or under, I think. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, it's about as lucky as you can expect any wicket to be. Like, there's always an element of luck in getting a wicket when you're bowling, right?
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, it was good.
They got their luck in that New Zealand didn't drop chances, they were sharp, and he bowled exactly at the right place at the right time. And the England bowlers batsmen were making a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. It was almost the perfect storm. You know, the New Zealand bowlers were on, the New Zealand fielders were on, everything was being bowled just right. You say English batters just didn't look quite into it, and then once the wicket started, they didn't really seem to stop them, and so then you get the result that you got. New Zealand got to roll England for reasonably low, even though it could have been much lower. And then we're able to go out and show that the conditions had got back into, if you're actually going to apply yourself, that batting wasn't that hard.
Yeah.
And that sets up that sort of win with less time, even if you have a lot of rain.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah.